Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer e-commerce and retail space. We get to learn a bit about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes on trends and challenges in the industry, learn about how they approach their marketing journey, and hopefully a little bit about them personally. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of e-commerce and retail strategy at Quad. And I'm very excited about today's guest, Carly Lake, head of seller content marketing at Etsy. Carly is a product marketing leader with more than 14 years of experience turning ideas into brands and brands into businesses people trust. She's helped co-launch global products like Uber Eats, led trust and safety marketing at scale at Uber, and co-founded Lucky Sweater, a community-powered marketplace for secondhand goods. Today, she leads the seller content team at Etsy, building the content systems and strategies that help sellers grow their businesses. She also writes the AI Plus Marketing Weekly, where she shares tools, tactics, and thoughtful perspectives on using AI strategically without losing the human element. And that is an amazing Substack. I'll start the podcast by saying you have to check it out if you haven't yet. But Carly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And thank you for that plug. Yeah, it's been fun. I want to say every day, every hour, something's changing in the AI world. And it's really hard to keep up with. So I'm hoping I'm helping, especially the marketing community, do that.
And what I love it. Well, I want to spend a ton of time talking all things AI during the course of our time together today. But let's start with you today. You're leading seller content marketing at Etsy. Tell us about that role and what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been so great to be at Etsy. I've been there for over a year, managing a team of content strategists, content operations, and copywriters on how do we really bring the information sellers need to them in clear, consistent ways to grow their business and be the best partner we can to them. So how do we communicate insights, products, just anything they need to grow their business across YouTube, CRM, social, community, even in real life events. So that's been really fun to just really be connected to that seller community and give them the information they need.
You know, it's interesting because everybody's an Etsy customer virtually. You know, I think everybody in America almost has bought from Etsy at one time or another, but you don't think about the seller community. That's probably just an interesting environment to get to know different kinds of sellers and what they do.
Yeah, it's been so amazing. We had a recent event at Etsy, and it's just such a vibrant community. And like, I'm just in awe of all the items that they hand make, and it's so rewarding to help them in any way grow their business and connect with them. Yeah.
All right. Well, how did you get there? I read somewhere that you said you're a Valley girl from Brooklyn by way of Amsterdam. So why don't you give us the 411 on your career journey and how you ended here?
Yes, always a Valley girl. So I talk about LA, like LA could be the biggest bubble, like just a bubble, or it's one of the most diverse cities in the country. And I love being from there. I love, you know, I'm a pop culture enthusiast, grew up near the entertainment world. And I think it definitely affected like what I'm interested in, building community, listening to vulnerable and different diverse voices. Just love being a Valley girl. Started my career, I studied journalism in the Midwest at Northwestern, and then started my career in advertising, which I felt was like the best boot camp. Straight out of college, how do you write a brief? How do you talk to clients? Going to like SC Johnson as a 21-year-old and presenting in my like blazer from Target, knowing what I was doing, working with clients like Huggies Diapers, you know, Fortune 500s, Ford Vehicles, Jim Beam Whiskey, CDW on the B2B side. So I really feel like I cut my teeth there. I oversaw content strategy, especially for our digital channels. It was funny at the time, it was Ogilvy One, like the one team working on digital. Can you imagine? Like,
I can't imagine.
I'm aging myself. Like now everyone is digital first, of course. So how can this 21-year-old show you how to use Pinterest or build a microsite? So I love that. I got to work with engineers, content strategists, and just really had a lot of fun there. I'm from LA, and I actually interned in tech during college at Facebook and wanted to get back into that world. I really loved working with engineers and product building. So I started at Uber. I was in Chicago, moved to LA, and was one of the first 500 employees there. Crazy times. Was a community manager to start, which I love because I actually started a lot with like support and getting to know both the drivers and seller drivers and rider community. Ended up there building a lot of our driver loyalty programs, and then moved up to San Francisco to be one of the first product marketers focused on trust and safety, and built out a lot of work there around women's safety. Redid our community guidelines. How do we keep vulnerable communities safe? Wrote Uber's safety narrative with a bunch of amazing partners. And then after that, I actually started my own company. Went for it, raised money, built Lucky Sweater, as you mentioned, and learned so much. I feel like I never went to business school, but I feel like this was the equivalent, probably plus more. How to pitch investors, had to build the team, do payroll, be everything from like the intern to the CEO. Ended up taking a step back. My co-founder is still running it, which is amazing. I was actually in Amsterdam at the time, so Valley Girl to Amsterdam, and then saw this really exciting opportunity at Etsy, and have been in New York and at Etsy since last February.
Fascinating.
That's my long spiel.
How did Amsterdam play into all this?
Yeah, so while I was at Uber, it was so amazing. We got to travel all over the world. I got to go to India, Brazil, Mexico, Egypt to really work on our safety messaging and meet our customers, both riders, drivers, eaters in restaurants. And then my partner at the time was helping open or start a team at the Uber office in Amsterdam, which is the MIA headquarters. And he went there for a year, supposed to be temporary. He loved it. I was like, when else in my life will I live in Europe? So I ended up moving with him a couple years later.
Yeah. What a fascinating story. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, with the background of founding a company and launching a startup and working in such a unique business as Etsy, you bring a breadth of experience that's, you know, very unique.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, high level, in your role with Etsy and stuff like that. You know, founding a company and launching Uber Eats, how does, you know, being an operator change how you think about supporting Etsy sellers?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I really do love like putting systems in place. I do really love the 0 to 1, and I don't think that always has to happen like at your own startup. At Uber, they were exploring, like, you know, Uber was, you know, had like, you know, good hundreds of employees, maybe thousands at that point, and wanted to start a new business unit. So did that at Uber, you know, 0 to 1. It was even before Uber Eats had an app. It was called Uber Fresh at the time. We brought on the first restaurant partners. And I think the skill can be applied even at a company like Etsy that's 20 plus years old. You know, how do we communicate our buyers' needs and demand peaks like Mother's Day and cyber to our sellers? How do we set up a new content team? Like, I think even though I'm very focused on content marketing, there's always those operational opportunities. How do you build up a team? How do you look at your operations? I love kind of building that 0 to 1. And I think, again, it doesn't have to be adding that new startup, but it can be at any company. So I'm really enjoying doing that at Etsy right now too.
What did Uber Eats teach you about marketplace dynamics that applies to Etsy?
Yeah, really great question. I am a sucker for, I hate doing like supply and demand, but like the people really serving the customer. I love working with the driver base at Uber, driver partners. I got a text yesterday. I'm like gonna, like, I worked with this one driver named Benita, such a wonderful human artist, mom. We did a driver series about her 10 plus years ago. They just filmed a video with her this week, and she's with an Olympian, and she's doing this whole storytelling with Uber about women drivers. And she texted me, "Hey, Carly, like, I'm in this new video with Uber 10 years later." And just, I don't know, I have such a soft spot for these people powering these marketplaces and choosing these marketplaces as a way to make their living and to support their families. So I think that's so powerful. So supporting them brings me a lot of joy. So whether it's the driver, a restaurant who wants to build this whole other side of their business, or someone who maybe has never had their own business before, but has such this great talent in this art form. I that just really gets me super excited. Yeah.
There's something fundamentally authentic about Etsy as a brand anyway, just what they stand for, that I think is very unique.
Yeah. I just love like the human craftsmanship of it all. Craftspersonship of it all.
And, yes.
And just, yeah, it's been a really beautiful place to work. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to pivot a little bit if we can, because how I first ran into you is your Substack, AI Plus Marketing Weekly, and I love it.
Oh,
how did you get interested in it? And what's the genesis of that Substack?
Yeah. So I mean, AI is like a once in a lifetime. You know, you could look back to like when mobile came about, you can go back all the way to the Industrial Revolution, but I think we're at this moment of time, no matter if, you know, what your opinion is, negative, positive, we're like, this is going to change. We're already seeing that, how we work, how we connect, how we think about authentic storytelling. So I was seeing a lot of information online, a lot of people having opinions and talking about it more from like an engineering technical point of view. But I thought it was really important as a marketer and as an operator to really just be on the pulse of what was going on. And I thought it was really important for other marketers to have that same information. So I did it kind of for myself. And the newsletter was something like, okay, if I say I'm going to do this every week, it would keep me accountable to keep learning. So it was like something I really wanted to do. And then I was like, okay, how can I curate and make sure there's so much information out there? Like, what are the top tools, the top news, even the top jobs, top events that could help other marketers like myself just really learn and keep up with AI? So that was really the impetus and really been enjoying it. I just recently, I was on LinkedIn and went to another newsletter hub, and now I'm on Substack. And I really like Substack because it feels like a community. It feels like a lot of other fellow marketers. It's pretty women centric. So I've been really liking just to connecting and sharing this information with people on Substack. And then I'm also starting to do more posts about more like long form opinion pieces, like how I'm bringing AI into my life, how I'm also not bringing AI into my life. So it's been just really fun so far.
I love the Substack because it is sort of become the central place that I go to for my AI information weekly, because, you know, I'm seeing a lot of it and many of the things I'm already aware of, but in other cases it's just all consolidated together. So you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. No, I feel the same. I was getting, I'm like always, it's interesting to hear that. Like I was getting some information from Twitter, X, mostly LinkedIn, but I didn't feel like I really wanted to understand what these thought leaders were actually like deeply thinking and just taking even like digging deeper into this topic. And I really feel like Substack has been the place that I'm seeing that the most. Yeah. So I'm just excited to connect with other writers there too and build that community there.
That's excellent. Hopefully this podcast will lead to more followers.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk a few. I've got some questions I just wanted to kind of dive at and pick at with you vis-a-vis AI in the marketing world today. You know, we know AI can generate a ton of content quickly, but there's a lot of language and talk around brand voice and authenticity and how AI does or does not deliver on those values. You care to tell us a little bit about your thoughts in that space?
Yeah. And I also can even talk about it from like personal writing. And even like that long form piece, I studied journalism. I've always loved creative writing. I just journaled this morning. And I was dealing with some thoughts about, I'm planning my wedding and like all these thoughts and I want to build a community. And there's like all these, I'm always overthinking and like just sitting down with a pen and paper, but like how that just cleared my head and helped me like go deeper with my thoughts. AI is never gonna solve that for me. Like it's just truly sitting with myself, putting pen to paper. And so for me and for other creatives, I think that step is just always so important, not just for the final outcome and piece, but like for the journey of getting there. So and starting with the authentic voice. So one thing that I'm very what's very important to me when it comes to AI, brand voice, my own voice, is like, how can we make sure we're starting with that? And how can, and then AI can come in as an assistant, an editor, someone to really jam ideas with. But I think if we go straight to AI from a brand perspective, from a personal writing perspective, we're going to lose a lot of the authenticity, the brand voice. I think, and consumers are going to feel that. And I also, I think we're going to lose the joy of why a lot of us got into writing in the first place.
I love that. If you're not careful, AI can think for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I value very much the phrase that people never remember what you say. They only remember how you made them feel. You can say everything very eloquently, but trust is, I think, and trust and authenticity are communicated really when you're vulnerable with, you know, who you are and as a creator.
And you have to be connected to that. And I saw myself, not even at work, but like personally writing my Substack, is like, I was getting a little bit disconnected from that. I think, so funny if you read my last piece, but it's, I do talk about how I bring this to my therapist. because this is like, I'm such a nerd, like it's AI and my creativity, like all this stuff is popping up, but like it's AI is very seductive. And I think like you can just fall into like, okay, I want to write this piece, I want to do this brief, AI, tell me what to do. But I worry like that's not going to create that connection. Like you mentioned, the authenticity, making people feel something. It's good. You're going to be able to tell that it was started with AI.
I'm probably going to misquote, but I think you said something like, the best ideas start with you. And your ideas, I think something about your best ideas come in the shower. When there's no screen and no agenda. I'm probably misquoting, so forgive me.
No, but it's like these silent moments. Like sometimes like this is like when I'm at work and I'm just like, you know, on my computer, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk to the rest. I'm going to take a restroom break, or I'm going to go like get a drink of water. Like while I'm walking, an idea will just pop in my head. When the screen's not in front of me, AI's not in front of me, I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? It's like these, it's like trying to get out, but you just haven't given it the silence or the space to do it. Yeah.
I love that. All right. Well, let's pivot a little bit from just content creation to some of the marketing trends and stuff that we're seeing. You know, I think just a week or so ago, there was an article about retail executives are saying Gen AI will weaken brand loyalty, which is something I'm interested in following, because at this point I can still oftentimes see in ad spaces, you know, obvious applications of Gen AI. But I'm just interested in how you see AI-driven discovery, you know, evolving, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, I think like AI can be really great to test subject lines. Again, like iterate on your content you've already created and like come up with really interesting ways to personalize and pulling in data. One thing I am really bullish about is how marketers, Lenny's newsletter came out, I don't know how many weeks ago or months ago, was like Claude Code is for everyone. Like, I do think that marketers understanding how, like, it's insane what AI can do with data and help you think through a cursor and Claude Code. And I'm really bullish on that, right?
Yeah.
Like, help you use those points that, like, hey, I'm not the most analytical person. Like, how can that help me get to, like, the final output that is really strong and serving this audience's need in its data informed? Like, I'm really excited about that. I think when the final product is, you know, you can tell it's not a real actor, or, you know, there's final creative. I think that's such a beautiful human created process and creative outlet. Like, that's where I think once brands really use AI for that last like design creative piece of content creation, I think a lot of trust will be eroded there. When you're not using real human storytelling, bringing in real human needs, like I can't connect with a brand if I'm watching like a fake AI person in my feed.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you see there a rush to that on the part of brands as a whole? I know that, It's hard to speak on the macro there, but you know, as a trend, as it were.
Yeah. I think like, it's so funny how fast things move. I think when like AI popped like a year ago, you saw Coca-Cola. I know Liquid Death just put out.
Yes. I've seen both of those. Yep.
Yeah. I'm probably missing a bunch. Yeah. And it's like, I want to engage with an authentic, real person. That's how we connect. We're humans. We need connection. That's like what keeps us happy, relationships. And like, I want to connect, you know, with the brand and real people. So when I see that, it's hard for me to build that connection. One of my favorite Super Bowl ads, and I just saw it again last night, was the Levi's ad. I know it was like so silly. I know it was a lot of butts in Levi's, but just all different types of people. And it showed how Levi's is universal. And then Doechii, the musical artist at the end, was wearing that. And it just
felt, I loved that ad. It wove pop culture so effectively. And it was just really well done.
It was fun. And it like, yeah, it wasn't like this like long human story, but like I felt connected to this larger community. And if I knew they used AI butts, sorry to talk about this, I don't think I'd be as into it and feel part of this larger community. So that's just a fun example.
Yeah, I get it. So where are marketers misstepping there? Is it automation, governance? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm still learning too. I think it's so exciting for how much we can test, how data informed we can be. And I think like we just want to make everything so easy. But I think, and maybe I'm biased because I am started as a content strategist and a creative, like I think at the end of the day, the best people to tell the best stories are humans. And I think like, whether that's from film or copy or a scene's backdrop, the costume design, I think like humans can create that the best, and you can tell if that wasn't human created. And I think whether we like it or not, like the audience will be able to tell and not feel as connected to your brand.
And they may be able to tell without being able to tell, if it were.
Yeah,
maybe
you can feel it, like you said, like you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I still am interested to see where this goes, but I think authenticity, I think in real life, because you know it's really hard to tell a lot of the time, but I think those things are really going to pop and develop because those are the true fire way to know it's real if you're meeting someone in real life. Connecting with the brand in real life.
Very interesting. And you know, because of how large language models work and everything, there's also I think a risk. I mean, obviously creatives are still going to play a significant role in the ad industry, but there's a risk that AI copies itself over time. So it kind of becomes
I've been reading about that. That's crazy. No, yeah, I mean, I also, you know, I was a journalism major. There's active lawsuits, obviously, with the New York Times, OpenAI, like how they've been trained, right?
Yes.
This is people's, and I don't think, we don't have to get into that. Like, is that 100% right? No. But now AI is bringing in, you know, other things on the internet that AI probably wrote. And it's just like, that's such a good point. Like, yeah, it's getting smarter. These models are getting so sophisticated. Like, I'm an Opus 4.6 user, I'm like in awe every day. But I'm like, if they're getting trained on other AI slop, how is that going to affect the models and the output? I don't know.
All right. So let's have another question I wanted to ask you is ChatGPT and the ad universe and how that's working. What do you see happening there? And what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah. I'll be very transparent. I'm a Claude girly. I love the tools. But I get it. I do think there's an argument for, you know, these tools are going to get more expensive, I assume. You know, they have to meet these. They have really crazy raises and valuations. And, you know, ads are a way that you can open this up to more people if they don't want to pay a monthly fee. I do think if there's clarity, like what is an ad, what's sponsored, what's not, let's see what happens. I'm using LLMs right now. I'm planning my wedding. So it is helpful for me to find venues. It has been helpful for me to do all those things. And would I click in an ad in that space? Maybe. So I get why it's happening. I am excited to, I do pay for Claude, and I know they're not running out, rolling out ads. So that makes me a little bit more excited to use Claude on the daily.
Do you think that that will stay that way?
I think based on where Anthropic is going as like an enterprise model, mm-hmm. and more like going after businesses. And I think, I do think based on like, it seems more OpenAI is more of like the consumer business model.
Well, you can see how they're carving their territories, but I just wonder if, LinkedIn is a business level social media, and I get ads there.
Of course. Yeah. I don't know. Again, it's so interesting. Like, I'll give an example. I'm trying to consistently send my Substack at 7 a.m. every Tuesday. So if you're mm-hmm. subscribed, it's free, you get it in your inbox, you're ready for work and that week, and you have all your AI and marketing information. I was sending it like on Tuesday, trying to figure out, you know, I want to make sure I'm not working on it at work, but there was a day I was just delayed. And between like the 7 a.m. and let's say like after work, 5 p.m., I was able to send it. Three things had launched from Claude. Every day there's something new. So I think I will wait and see.
It's interesting you talk about paying for ChatGPT to avoid ads. It's an occupational hazard perhaps, but I don't pay for that. And I don't pay for YouTube because I just kind of want to see what's happening with.
Yeah. You know, I'm almost like, I should not pay for it so I can like observe.
It's impossible to forward think in this rapidly evolving space. I mean, this is a civilization defining moment in many ways in terms of the speed at which AI is impacting our lives. But why don't we riff a little bit on a couple things you think we might see happen in the next year relative to this space.
Let's see if I'm right. Yeah. Cool.
I'm not trying to put you under the gun. I'm just interested.
No, I'm curious. I'll listen much to this more in a year. I'll listen to a year from now. I could be completely off base, but let's see. I like this. I like this exercise.
Well, something in like, you know, obviously a year is an eternity.
I know, right?
Civilization. But like, what do you see happening this year? What do you expect? Yeah. Any, you know?
Yeah, I'm seeing it like even like this past week over week for friends and people at work. I think that, and I did a training with my team this week on Claude Code. I think that marketers are really going to have to dive headfirst in. Like find their AI, and I don't want to scare people. Like my job, like discover your AI principles. Like I'm working through those. You know, I try to ideate before I go to an LLM, but like not just prompting ChatGPT in here or there. I mean, like getting into Cursor, getting into Codex, whatever tool you want, getting into Claude Code, and like really learning where these tools can take you and what you can build, and seeing other people's examples. I think people. I don't know if it's a prediction, but I think like, people are going to have to understand how to use these more, I don't know if powerful tools are the right way, but agents that can bring in data, that can bring in files from your computer, that can pull in a lot of things besides just a one-off prompt. I think if you're not learning that, you will be behind.
I love that. And I think you're dead nuts on that prediction.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably an obvious one, but I think like, again, Claude Code is for everyone, to quote Lenny's newsletter. And I think Claude, I can send the article, they did a contest. I want to say Claude Anthropic did it themselves about like what doctors and people in like unsexy industries were building with Claude Code. And it was just, I have to go back to it, but like what people are building who aren't technical or engineers, it's unbelievable and fascinating. Yeah.
Prediction number two.
Prediction number two. Oh my God. Everything is moving so fast.
So fast.
I think that in real life, you see this all over LinkedIn. I'm not like this genius. I think like in real life is going to be so important. I think like, and this is also a factor of like social media just being a lot of advertisements. We're not even connecting with our friends. Hey, maybe we're following an AI influencer and we don't even know about it. Mm-hmm. I think in real life, community is going to be really important. And along with that, I used to craft here and there. I love being on my computer. Like, I have realized as the more I am on my computer using AI, I need moments of like creating that's physical. So I think like art spaces, there's one called Happy Medium in New York where you come and you just do crafts with friends. Like these type of like third spaces are going to be even more important for people as we're online and we're like, are we talking to a human? Are we not? Am I seeing more ads? Am I not? I think that will be huge. And again, this is, people are saying this, so I'm not.
No, but yeah. I think you're really diving into something. And obviously we're doing this on audio, but over my left shoulder, I've got a bunch of guitars because I play music. That's happened to be what I studied in college.
Yeah.
But over my right shoulder, I got a painting because what I need to do sometimes is just to decompress in a real creative world that does not include anything digital.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think mental health too, to riff on that further. I read an article and I can't remember where it was, talking about how technology is essentially speeds up time. And so technology is invented, but the time between which the technology is invented and it's applicable and applied and available to everyone is the time at which the person's mind has the ability to adjust and come to terms with and understand. And AI has taken what had already been shortened considerably and shortened it to zero time, which has tremendous impact on our ability as a species to understand and internalize what that technology means.
Yeah. Yeah. I even think of like cognitive health too. And like our brains atrophy because we don't think anymore. Yeah.
There are
like
people that don't. Yeah. You're right.
And we're not sitting with our feelings and we're not sitting with what we need. And yeah, we're just going to AI like, oh, I'm like stressed right now. What do I do? We're like over rationalizing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have so much information. I am also, I'm nervous about kids and just like what this technology can expose them to and do to their brain. So I'm hoping, and I think there will be more regulation, more safety standards for these tools. That is my optimistic hope, but I think that that's needed. And I hope in a year from now we see that. Yeah.
I love the thought. I agree with the concept and the need. I don't expect it to occur.
Yeah.
And simply because we've seen there is a precursor for that in social media.
Social media. And how many years has that taken? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it still doesn't really exist. I mean, it's self-policed.
There's like teen accounts, but like,
Yeah.
No. All right. I could talk about this for a long time. So this has been very fun for me.
Are there any other predictions that you have?
Oh my gosh.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I think that these models are going to get smarter and smarter and smarter. And I just think, I mean, we can talk about AGI. I won't even go into that. But I think that if people don't start working within the tools now, in a few months from now, they're going to be so powerful. I think you will be left behind. So I'm just like plugging that people, no matter your age, no matter your role, try them out, see what they're capable of, see how they make you feel, build your muscles with them and how you want to include them in your life, how you don't want to include them in your life. Because I think they're soon going to be so powerful. It's going to be hard to resist my therapist and I use the seductive nature of them. Yeah.
Love that. All right. I think we're coming close to an end here, Carly. I'm going to close with a question I've started to ask people that I really like. Let's say that you call it quits in 5 or 10 years and you look back, what do you want people who've worked with you to say about who you are?
Wow. That's such a powerful question. I think just kindness and care. I will not do everything perfectly. You know, I have had ups and downs and proud of work, not proud of work, but just at the end of the day, like, I care and I bring kindness to my team, to the work. That's what I hope.
I love that. I want to thank you for the work you do. You consolidate for me on a weekly basis the trends, and you've been impactful for me without even knowing each other.
One person, I'll take it. Yeah, that's great. But, thank you,
but thank you, and thank you for joining the podcast. I've been so glad to have you here. It's been great for me.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on Directly Speaking today. We hope you enjoyed the content and getting to know Carly a little bit with us. We hope to see you again soon. Until then, have a great day, everybody.